What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, February 20th, 2023, start of a brand new week. It's a very, very busy news day. There's a lot going on, and we're going to try and get through as much of it as we can before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and let's get right on into it. First of all, today is President's Day, and we all know what that means. If Biden comes out of the White House and sees his shadow, we get six more weeks of total BS coming from president and the administration and so forth. Actually, that doesn't apply today because Biden is not at the White House. He is in Kiev. We're going to have more about that a little bit later in the show. Little history reminder, on this day in 1962, John Glenn Jr. became the first American to orbit the Earth, completing three orbits during the 4-hour, 55-minute, and 23-second space flight in his Mercury Friendship 7 spacecraft. And I remember when all that was happening and so forth. Over in Turkey, Syria, they have been hit with another quake. It's a magnitude 6.3, which is considerably less than the big ones that struck just a little while ago. But with everything already cracked and broken from the previous quakes, this is causing a lot of the rubble to shift. There's already been reports of additional deaths, and there's even been a 5.8 aftershock as well. So these people just can't catch a break here. Neither can the people in East Palestine, Ohio. The story just keeps getting worse and worse. And, you know, there is this massive cover-up that is going on in East Palestine, Ohio. Federal, state, and local officials are telling the public everything is just fine. You know, a little bit of dioxin is not going to hurt you, you know, but that CO2 in the atmosphere, that's got to go, and, you know, you shouldn't be breathing that here. And to basically recap, five of the cars in that Norfolk Southern train derailment carried vinyl chloride, which is a very hazardous substance. It is carcinogenic. It can trigger several different types of cancers. And unfortunately, with the approval of Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a decision was made on February 6th to conduct a controlled burn of the wreckage, the idea being to just burn off all of these toxic chemicals in order to get the rail line reopened as quickly as possible so everybody can go back to business and making money. And the problem is they did not consult with a chemist before they set fire to these chemicals because it creates a huge amount of phosgene gas, which was used as a chemical weapon in World War I, and dioxin. And, you know, obviously Governor DeWine doesn't want to be blamed for that, so there's a lot of finger-pointing and blame-shifting going on. Meanwhile, Ohio Senator Michael Rooley is saying, I am begging you not to drink the water in East Palestine. It is not safe. And he's saying, anyone within 10 miles, do not drink the water. Do not bathe in the water. It is simply not safe. Okay, now that we've had this disaster, unfortunately, no one got killed in the initial derailment, but we've got to worry about cancer in the next 5, 10, 15, or even 20 years, and he's absolutely correct about that. And he said, in all fairness to the governor, there are some really nice state crews down there trying to work on the mess. But so far, despite promises coming from FEMA and the White House, they're not seeing a lot of federal assistance. You know, it's like we've got more important things to do, like, you know, Ukraine and keeping the border to Mexico open. And you guys are just going to have to deal with it. Now, we mentioned once before that utilities in Cincinnati had shut off their Ohio River water intakes over concern about contamination. Now Northern Kentucky has done the same. They have shut off their Ohio River water intake valves. Down in this part of the country, nobody uses the Ohio River other than for shipping and industrial purposes. It's not used for city water because of the high degree of pollution. But there is still concern that those pollutants are flowing down the Ohio River and are going to wind up affecting this part of the country. There have been bird deaths you know, large numbers of dead birds over in Lexington, Kentucky, which is just on the other side of Louisville. So we're keeping an eye out here for rainbow-colored water, which will make the LGBTQ people happy, and, of course, dead animals where there should not be some. Meanwhile, there's an Ohio resident says they're getting really bad symptoms in the wake of this derailment, and basically, you know, saying this has got to be cleaned up. And it's something they're going to have to do long term. I mean, if you remember the Love Canal, that took almost 20 years to clean up. Okay, and the town is going to need long-term testing. There's a lot of people who don't want to stay. Many have already moved away, and they're just going to eat the loss on their homes because who would move into that area and buy a home next to that toxic site? It's a complete write-off, and they're walking away from their equity and saying we're going to go someplace else because you know, we want to have children, and we want them to have all the normal number of appendages in the normal places. One Ohio resident is saying that the rashes are so bad it's almost as if the skin is melting. And, you know, officials are out there saying, well, you know, the air quality and drinking water, they don't really pose threats. But finally, Governor Mike DeWine announced Friday that a creek near East Palestine is still severely contaminated, and it will take time to remediate the situation. And this a woman, Nadine Lucy Strail, does not live in East Palestine, but is experiencing headaches, burning of the skin after she ate dinner at a Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant near the site of the controlled burn. And so it's definitely getting everywhere. People there are breaking out in rashes. There is going to be a cancer cluster in the area, which the government will blame on China, Russia, eggs, Chinese Death Star balloons, or things, something just as silly. They just don't want you to realize what an epic disaster this has been. Now, one indicator of just how bad it is, the EPA is going around East Palestine asking residents to sign a paper that would shield the EPA from liability. So they're already out there trying to get people to sign these documents. I imagine they're giving them $5-$10 or something like that and say, you know, just sign your name here and you can never sue us, you know, even when your children start to lose bodily parts here. And according to one report, this came in on Twitter, people are now seeing chemical rainbows in the melted snow up in Canada. And, you know, officials are hoping nobody's going to notice, but yes, we are noticing. And there was one report that toxic rain fell in Maine. And apparently the government up there is saying, well, it's just dust from a thunderstorm. It's not from Ohio and, you know, nothing to worry about. Well, thunderstorms don't kick up dust. The rain kind of tamps everything down there. And so, yeah, it's a major cover-up. Now, a Norfolk Southern Railroad employee is said that the problem with that train is it was way too long. It was 151 cars, 9,300 feet long, almost 2 miles long, 18,000 tons. And they said the train had been experiencing trouble even before the derailment. It had broken down at least once before the Ohio accident. And the employee said the train was simply too long. We shouldn't be running trains that are 150 car lengths long. There have to be limitations to the weight and length of the trains. In this case, had the train not been 18,000 tons, it's very likely the effects of the derailment would have been mitigated. And, yeah, it would make sense to me when you think about the stresses on those coupling links, that there is an upper limit to how many cars you can put on a train. And I know some super long trains, they'll have locomotives positioned every so many cargo cars, but this was not the case here. And a lot of people like saying this is Pete Buttigieg. This was his job. And, you know, of course, he was hired by Joe Biden to add diversity to the administration because of his sexual lifestyle and not because of his actual qualifications for the job. So we have the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. There was the airline cancellation chaos scandal when the NOTAM system went down. There was Vacation Gate when Buttigieg went on paid leave for almost 2 months in the fall of 2021 before the corporate media even took notice. And the secretary was mostly offline as congressional negotiations over an infrastructure package fell apart and the supply chain crisis threatened to ruin Christmas for millions of Americans. And then there was the fact that while normal Americans were dealing with the chaos at commercial airports, Buttigieg was flying all over the country in taxpayer-funded private jets like a real fancy boy while lecturing common folks about the dangers of climate change. Apparently, he loves private air travel. He got hooked during his failed presidential campaign. But now it is the American taxpayer that is paying for his travel. Then there was the electric car abomination scandal. Buttigieg has repeatedly scolded the American people for complaining about rising gas prices when they could simply buy an electric car for $70,000 and not have to worry about the price of gas. You're just going to have to worry about where you're going to charge that and where the generating capacity is going to come from, which is definitely a problem. Then, you know, Buttigieg was coming out with all this nonsense about how roads were racist and other woke nonsense. there was the bike Ghazi scandal. Buttigieg scandalized the nation in February of 21 when photos and videos surfaced of the secretary wearing a helmet while riding a bicycle to work. And the Associated Press reported that his passion for riding bikes and looking like a nerd was an example of how Buttigieg was just a regular guy who also likes to fly on private jets and ride around in a convoy of SUVs to avoid public transportation. So it is a mess up there, and it's not going away anytime soon. And the Biden administration is trying to find something to distract you all from what happened in East Ohio. And maybe that was one of the motives for the surprise trip to Kiev, which we're going to get to in a moment. Meanwhile, a little bit of sad news. Jimmy Carter, the who's 98 years old, has decided to spend his final days in hospice care at his Georgia home rather than seek more medical treatments. They weren't very clear about what he's been dealing with, but the grandson says that the oldest living U.S. president and his wife of 76 years are at peace. So already they're polishing up the articles, you know, the memorials to him, the and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, over the weekend, up in Washington, D.C., we had the March Against the War Machine rally. Wasn't as big as I would have liked it to have been, but then I can't complain because I myself did not go. But there were several hundred people up there, and they had a number of prominent speakers from across the political spectrum calling on the government to end its military support for Ukraine in favor of diplomacy and slash the Pentagon budget in order to address domestic issues here. And definitely on track with that. Nothing, you know, you can't argue with that. It's clearly what is needed here. All right. Now, last week on Thursday, presidential physician Kevin O'Connor declared that Biden remained fit to execute the office's responsibility, calling him a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old man. Of course, there was no cognitive test included in the checkup. And a former White House physician and current Congressman, Ronny Jackson, says the Biden administration is clearly concealing the mental health of Joe Biden. And again, they're lying to us. And the majority of Americans can see that Biden's mental health is in total decline, yet there is no transparency from the White House on what's going on, if anything, to address this issue and his inability to do the job. In fact, there was a video we linked to where Joe Biden is talking, and he's just so out of it that the news person down in Australia just was trying hard not to laugh and was reduced to tears at the utter stupidity here. All right, getting on back to Hunter Biden, the great artist who will define our generation, according to the guy who's selling his paintings here. And it appears that Hunter Biden's art dealer believes that his art should be left entirely to the eye of the beholder and not to Congress. George Bruget reportedly refused last week to provide the House Oversight Committee with the identities of the buyers of Hunter Biden's very high-priced and low-quality artwork. And while counsel William Pittard insists that the list of purchasers must remain secret, it is hard to see the viable legal basis to refuse the demands of the House Oversight Committee if made subject to a congressional subpoena. Now, Hunter Biden's art sales have been the subject of intense debate over whether it's another form of influence peddling or money laundering. Even President Barack Obama's ethics head has raised objections over this behavior. You know, I've seen a few of Hunter Biden's so-called artworks. They look like wallpaper samples. And, of course, you have to be my age to remember what wallpaper looked like here. All righty. Now, Congress has been grilling the former top Twitter executives who censored the Hunter Biden laptop story in advance of the 2020 presidential election. And the executives are acknowledging that, yes, it was probably wrong to do so. The committee subpoenaed James Baker as a key witness. He once served as general counsel for James Comey's FBI, but then joined Twitter several months before the election. And Baker was instrumental in pushing the Russia collusion hoax in a lawless effort to drive Donald Trump from office. So what this is telling us is that the FBI intentionally worked to bring about Trump's defeat in 2020. That's called election interference, and the FBI is not supposed to do that sort of thing here. And the FBI is still reeling from that embarrassment where they came out, actually a whistleblower published an internal document basically saying that Catholics represented a potential domestic threat. And it turned out this claim had originated with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a left-wing smear factory notorious for branding mainstream conservative and Christian organizations hate groups and placing them on a map with KKK chapters. So that's what the FBI did, and it's blown back in their face. Okay, getting on back to January 6th, there's a lot of stuff happening there. And according to this article that came out of the Liberty Daily, there has been a new disclosure showing that undercover police officers, not just Ray Epps, but undercover cops were urging the January 6th protesters, including Ashley Babbitt, to enter the Capitol building. Okay, and this was information that surfaced during a January 6th trial hearing last week. And according to this information, members of the Metropolitan Police Departments were undercover in the January 6th crowd and can be seen driving people to enter our house. This whole thing was a fake from beginning to end. And this next story, which is already being denied. There's social media saying, no, he's going to back off. He's not going to really do it. But apparently, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has given Fox News' Tucker Carlson exclusive access to 41,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage from the January 6th protest. And Carlson TV producers were on Capitol Hill last week to begin digging through the treasure trove, and these videotapes are also going to be made available to all the January 6th defendants. And that is probably going to upset the story. It's going to blow the narrative out of the water. All right, speaking of blowing out of the water, it's official. James O'Keefe has been forced out of Project Veritas. And apparently the board just got together and said, we've got to get rid of this guy. More about this when we come back with these words from our sponsors.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Biden takes classified documents seriously. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at mystore.com to save money on American-made products from American companies. President Biden takes classified documents so seriously that he had at least one in his garage. Just for a minute, let's forget that a former vice president shouldn't have classified materials. Let's ignore the hypocrisy of Biden's statements regarding Trump having classified materials at Mar-a-Lago, where there are Secret Service. What I want to know is, why were attorneys clearing out an office at the UPenn think tank? Lawyers cost hundreds of dollars an hour. Two guys and a truck would have been infinitely cheaper. Were the lawyers there because they expected to find something like this? Maybe the attorneys were there just so that there would be attorney-client privilege in place. The presence of lawyers doing a job that a couple of teenagers could do is intriguing, to say the least. Now that the story is out, I have many questions, but the White House press secretary has refused to answer a single one put to her. Hopefully, the new special counsel will have better luck. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail. When the banksters all need to be in jail.
Hey, and welcome back to our show. And we're talking about the story that James O'Keefe has been forced to resign from Project Veritas. The board of directors wanted him out. And we don't really know what the agenda is. I mean, they were out there saying that, you know, he was difficult to work for, and he even stole a sandwich. Oh, my goodness. Stop the presses. You know, James O'Keefe stole a sandwich. Okay. And, you know, O'Keefe delivered his resignation in person to his staff in their New York office. And as far as I'm concerned, James O'Keefe is Project Veritas. And I have already unfollowed Project Veritas on all my social media. I am following James O'Keefe, and I expect that he is going to, you know, bring back a new version of the same thing all over again. Meanwhile, what is Project Veritas now? I expect will focus exclusively on trying to set up stings of conservatives. That's what I think is really going on behind there. Now, a former MSNBC host, Crystal Ball, is exposing the left-wing network's effort to censor and sway a story to appeal to viewers they want to brainwash. And apparently she was prohibited by management from speaking unfavorably about Hillary Clinton when she was running for president in 2016. Apparently any stories about Hillary Clinton had to be approved by the network's president. And Ball claimed that the cable news staff are reliable purveyors of whatever it is that the network wants to pervade. That reminds me of a quote from a former NBC News president. I forget his name, was Frank something, I think. But he said, our job is not to give people what they want, but we think they should have. And that's exactly what's going on. And now Crystal is coming on out and saying, yeah, the corporate media is totally controlled. It's totally politicized. Now, over on Real Time, host Bill Maher stated that contributors at the New York Times criticizing the paper's coverage of transgender issues shows that the New York Times is a very woke newspaper and the newsroom is not a balanced place. Now, I'm kind of old school on that. I actually did take a journalism class in college as part of my general, you know, education requirement outside my major. And, you know, back then the idea was, yes, you maintain a balance. You report both sides of the story and you let the readers decide. The same argument that Edward R. Murrow had when he was, you know, dealing with the network management himself here. And so apparently there was a story that came on out from a whistleblower. Her name is Jamie Reed. She worked in a clinic that does transgender operations or treatment. This is a first-person account. It's a sworn affidavit. And basically the New York Times attacked her and, you know, tried to drown her out and say this is ridiculous. You know, transgender surgery on kids is really a very good thing and you should all want that here. All righty, down to COVID, the gift that keeps on going, and the number of people, young healthy people, athletes, who are just dropping dead is becoming too great to ignore anymore. And so now the corporate media, in order to protect those pharmaceutical corporations that spend so much money on advertising, they're desperate to find something to blame, and CBS came on out saying that the soaring heart attacks among young people is because of the lack of masking and a failure to keep up with their vaccinations here. Now, we know the masks are totally ineffective. There have been many reports on that, many scientific studies, and I've been saying since the beginning, it's like trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence, okay? But the corporate media, they are captured by large corporations through their advertising accounts. And so, yeah, they're going to give you the corporation's view of what's going on here, which is a good, you know, symptom of fascism here. All right. Story coming out of Midwestern Doctors. And basically, they're working to expose fraud on the vaccine manufacturer's part. And apparently they're saying, you, if you consider the situation with Operation Warp Speed, using an untested technology to design a vaccine for an extraordinarily difficult pathogen and produce that vaccine in just a tiny fraction of the time it normally takes to make a vaccine, okay, it was an impossible task, and they rushed it on through, and more people are starting to actually analyze these vaccines, even though the sales contract says you're not allowed to do that, and they're finding all kinds of contaminants, okay? And they're, you know, Pfizer has a long and documented history of just sweeping this kind of thing under the rug. And yeah, because they're not in the business to make you healthy. In fact, if you were all healthy, they'd be out of business. They need you to be sick to make the vast amounts of money that they are making. All righty. Well, it's not just the mRNA shots that are causing problems. Apparently, signs of an increase in heart inflammation are occurring in people who received Novavax's COVID-19 vaccine, even though it does not use mRNA. Now, the whole thing was just reference. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about COVID, and apparently thousands of protesters swarmed Pfizer's world headquarters in New York City on Saturday to demand the arrest of the top executives at the company for crimes against humanity. Video posted on social media shows demonstrators protesting medical tyranny of the elite, with some bringing signs in tribute to the vaccine injured. And this isn't the first protest to be held outside their headquarters. And many of the protesters were chanting Nuremberg because of the way they handled the vaccines was a violation of the Nuremberg principles. You cannot be given an experimental treatment, which these all are. Okay, they're not FDA approved. They're operating under emergency use authorizations, which means they're experimental, and they can't force them on you. You have to give your consent after being fully informed. That was completely abandoned, and, Nazi scientists who behaved that way, got hanged at Nuremberg. All right, apparently down in Argentina, Pfizer is conducting phase 3 clinical trials for their Comirnaty vaccine, and there are already irregularities in the COVID injection trials that suggest that there are adverse effects that are being covered up. Now, interesting, over in Idaho, the legislature is taking the most radical step yet in regards to pushing back against the administration of increasingly risky and even deadly COVID-19 vaccines. They have introduced a measure criminalizing COVID vaccines throughout the state. That is how intense the debate is going right now. All right, getting to the international news now. Joe Biden has made an unannounced visit to Kiev. Air Force One flew out under total secrecy. It went to Poland. Biden got on a train and rode the rest of the way into Kiev. And I guess he's checking up on, you know, Hunter Biden's investments and so forth and so on. While he's there, he's promising another $500 million in weapons. And as a result of that, Ohio is considering declaring itself part of Ukraine so that they can get some of that financial aid for their disaster. But probably that's not going to work. And a lot of people are criticizing Joe Biden for going off to Ukraine and going on out there and saying, we support the people of Ukraine and we're with you. And all while, you know, we've got this environmental disaster in our own heartland that is being given scant notice at all. Okay. Now, apparently the White House did notify the Kremlin that Biden was going to go to Kiev. And they basically said, you know, let's not have anything embarrassing. I don't think Putin would be stupid enough to do something like that anyway. But they did sort of clear it with Russia. And now Biden's over there with Zelensky, and they're all buddy-buddy and hugging each other and sniffing hair and whatever else is going on over there. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis criticized Joe Biden for going to Ukraine while neglecting the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. And he's absolutely right about that. Now, there may be another reason for Biden to pay a personal visit to Zelensky. We have been seeing indications of Ukraine fatigue, certainly among the American people. The people do not support this. We are tired of war. We're tired of these high taxes that are taken away from us, and we get very little back for it, as the train disaster in Ohio illustrates here. And we've been hearing how this, as long as it takes, may in fact have an ending. And a lot of people are saying, we can't win this war. It could go on forever, bankrupting the West and still not accomplish anything. And we're risking a nuclear war here. You know, Biden may be saying we've reached the end of our resources because Ukraine has already lost two entire armies. It's begging for a third one, but the West can't come up with it. They've run out of weapons and materials and mercenaries here. Now, apparently, the European Union is going to hold an emergency meeting on March 6th and 7th. And they may decide to simply send all of NATO's remaining ammunition to Kiev, which would leave Europe, would leave NATO effectively defenseless. They have a lot of weapons, but nothing to put in them. And boy, that could cause a serious destabilization. Over in Hungary, Prime Minister Viktor Orban is saying that Europe may end up sending troops into Ukraine. And that certainly would telegraph that this war has gone beyond Ukraine, and it is, in fact, Russia against NATO, actually Russia against the United States. Now, French President Macron did a phone call with Zelensky to basically discuss acceleration of the military assistance to Kiev. So Macron is still on board and trying to get more things that go bang over to Ukraine. The big problem here is the Ukrainian forces, even at the start, were not well trained. And they're out there basically blasting away at anything that moves. And that's why they're just going through the ammunition like there's no tomorrow. And the present ammunition factories can't keep up with that flow. Okay, the Ukrainians get it, they shoot it off, and then they're saying we need more. Okay, so anyway. Now, getting on back to the Nord Stream pipeline, there's an article out of Sputnik News saying that either the president of the United States is a terrorist or a famous journalist, Seymour Hersh, is a fraud. And it's strange that nobody in the U.S. corporate media seem interested in finding out. Okay? Now, remember the Washington Post ran stories like the My Lai Massacre, the Pentagon Papers, but the Washington Post is no longer run by its original founding family. It is now owned by Jeff Bezos, whose Amazon cloud business has billions of dollars in secret contracts with the NSA and CIA. And he's not going to let the Washington Post mess up his cozy relationship with the government, you know, by embarrassing the president here. And so obviously Bezos has a massive conflict of interest that has compromised the integrity of the Washington Post, and which is probably why their readership is way, way down. Meanwhile, the Russian Aerospace Forces launched a series of strikes on concentrations of Ukrainian militants in Avdiivka. And it specified the military used FAB-500 bombs. Attacks on points of temporary deployment of the armed forces of Ukraine have been inflicted. And apparently they took videos of this with the help of a Russian optical electronic reconnaissance complex called Irania. So they got some nice technology out there. Meanwhile, Russia is boosting production of the Kinzhal hypersonic missile. Now, the Kinzhal missile is state-of-the-art. It can reach speeds of Mach 10. It can maneuver in flight, which means you cannot predict where it's going like you would with a ballistic missile. It is virtually invulnerable to enemy air and missile defense systems, and the company that is producing them is increasing production. So they are definitely arming up, and those Kinzhals are going to be a game changer. Meanwhile, pardon me, speculation has been swirling over the past month about why the U.S.-led West's Golden Billion so decisively shifted its official narrative about the Ukrainian conflict from prematurely celebrating Kiev's supposedly inevitable victory to seriously warning about its potential loss in this proxy war. More and more people are realizing this is not going to end well. We're going to have another embarrassment on our hands like Afghanistan. Okay. Russia has commenced a nuclear attack drill. They did this on the eve of Biden's visit to Europe. And these include large-scale maneuvers for its strategic nuclear forces. And meanwhile, the White House has told Zelensky to prepare for a major Russian offensive. Meanwhile, NATO is saying they will attack if they see that Russia is actually attacking rather than carrying out the drill. So let's hope that nobody makes a mistake and misinterprets what they're seeing on their electronic screens. Now, getting on back to the disaster in Turkey and Hungary, the U.S. is sending aid to Turkey, but not to Syria, and not for that matter to East Palestine. The Russians have delivered 100 tons of humanitarian cargoes to Syria, and a total of 26.6 tons of food were distributed among the residents in the earthquake-destroyed region. All righty. Now, the United States has publicly warned China against using U.S. lawmakers' visits to Taiwan as a pretext for military action and demanded that other countries warn Beijing against conflict over the island. I don't think Beijing is going to be listening. Meanwhile, the U.S. is warning China not to provide any weapons to Russia. And so, inevitably, China, wanting to basically save face and not look like they obeyed the United States of America, is now considering providing lethal weaponry to Russia. So that's escalating that. Now, the other day, there was a story about how the Chinese Coast Guard had fired a laser beam that temporarily blinded some of the crew aboard a Philippine patrol vessel in the disputed South China Sea. And when I saw the video, I said, it looks like this laser is handheld and it's about as powerful as the one that I use to point out celestial objects to kids who come on over to share the telescope. And the Philippine president, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., has said that this incident with the laser is not enough to activate the U.S. Defense Pact. So Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is out there saying that he does not want to get driven into a war with China unless it's absolutely necessary. Meanwhile, North Korea fired two short-range ballistic missiles early today, just 2 days after resuming missile testing. South Korea detected the two launchers from a western coastal town just north of Pyongyang, and the chief said that South Korea has increased surveillance and is coordinating with the U.S. to prepare for any necessary response. Meanwhile, the head of the South Korean ruling party is saying it is now time for South Korea to have nuclear weapons. Frankly, I agree. You know, if everybody had nuclear weapons, it would be a far more peaceful place here. And this is coming from Chun Jin-suk, the leader of the South Korean ruling People Power Party. And he said, we need to seriously consider developing our own nuclear capabilities. If such a response to North Korea's nuclear threats using Seoul's existence deterrent systems is insufficient. Now, the U.S. has been trying to convince South Korea to put U.S. nuclear missiles on South Korean soil. The South Korean people are not at all happy with that, knowing that those launch sites would be targets in the event of an attack, and they don't want to be anywhere near that. All right, down in Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that the normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia would launch a historic change in Israel's position in the Middle East and help to deter Iran from doing whatever it is that Benjamin Netanyahu imagines Iran is getting ready to do. Meanwhile, Israel uncorked on Damascus again. They have sent in four Israeli F-16 jets. They hit a housing unit and the airport, and apparently 15 people were killed, including a Syrian cardiologist, a pharmacist, and an engineer, all non-combatants, it should be pointed out. And we knew this was going to happen. The UN Security Council is considering a resolution regarding Israel's treatment of the Palestinian people. It's being described as anti-Israel, obviously biased. It's anti-Semitic, it's Jew hate. And apparently Republican congressional members are urging Joe Biden to use our veto in the Security Council to basically block that resolution. And that was supposed to be taking place today, and I have not heard a result yet on that. So anyway, getting into the economic news, there are 1.9 million fewer Americans working, but 2 million foreign workers being funneled into U.S. jobs. So anybody who says the open border is not taking work away from Americans, they are lying to you. Okay, a new analysis from the Center for Immigration Studies shows that in the fourth quarter of 2022, close to 2 million fewer native-born Americans were working in jobs compared to the same time in 2019, while 2 million foreign-born workers have been added to the workforce over the same period. And for more than two decades, the number of native-born working-age Americans in the workforce has declined. It's a great replacement. They don't like us intelligent, critical thinking white people. They just want a bunch of other things to come on in here. And another story along the same line. This is from Breitbart. Joe Biden is weighing expanding foreign competition in the labor market against working class Americans by offering green cards to foreign visa workers, according to a new report. This actually came out from Fox News' Adam Shaw. And it says Biden is considering allowing foreign workers on H-2A agricultural visas and H-2B non-agricultural visas to apply for and secure green cards and remain permanently in the United States labor market. Does this sound like good management to you? Doesn't to me. It really doesn't. All righty. Charles Hugh Smith is out there saying the core of our economy, the middle class, is crumbling. And he points out that neo-feudal societies and economies lack a vibrant middle class. This is the defining feature of feudalism and its updated version, neo-feudalism. A nobility based on birth or finance controls the vast majority of wealth, political power, and productive capital, all served by a powerless peasantry. And anytime somebody wants to bring tyranny to the land, they actively work to reduce the middle class, because it's from the middle class that opposition to oligarchy arises, because they have the extra money to finance political operations. Now, the Soviet Union lasted as long as it did because the Soviet system designed the middle class out right from the very beginning. You were either one of the elites or you were just one of the proletariat. And there was no middle ground there. France worked to suppress their middle class. It didn't work. There was a revolution there. And, of course, here in the United States, the American Revolution was financed primarily by middle-class merchants, farm owners, early factories, industrials, and so forth. All right, we've got to take a break. Commercials will be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economy. And out in California, in Culver City, officials, they're now banning homeless tent encampments on the streets. It's just gotten to be a completely out of control problem. The sidewalks are completely blocked. There's drug paraphernalia all over. And all these people living in these makeshift shelters will be forced to flee despite decision receiving fierce backlash from Democrat council members. The Democrats are out there saying, oh, just leave the homeless where they are. That's, you know, somebody's got to buy all these drugs. And basically, they're trying to come up with, housing for the homeless people. They've got a Project Room Key site, and they're going to set up a new homeless area at Virginia parking lot. But, you know, this is one of those things where it's been happening so long, and people just really have kind of gotten used to it, and you shouldn't, because when I was a kid, admittedly, a long time ago, it was very rare to see somebody who was homeless, and usually you were dealing with somebody with serious medical or mental issues where they simply couldn't function in society and they needed to be institutionalized and cared for. But now we've got millions of homeless people that are being ignored and neglected while we bring in, who knows who over these open borders. It's completely out of wacko here. Over in Great Britain, an ever-increasing number of households, including teachers, pensioners, and employers of the national health system, are having to turn to food banks for assistance because of the rising cost of living and the country's high inflation. Apparently, the research conducted by the Independent Food Aid Network found that almost 90% of food banks surveyed reported increased demand in December of last year and January of this year compared with the previous year. All right, a little bit of good news. I guess the United States is sort of getting used to the fact that they can't deal with Guido down there in Venezuela. The United States is going to receive 3 million barrels of Venezuelan crude oil this month, and this is being reported by Reuters. Chevron is on track to ship 100,000 barrels of Venezuelan crude oil per day into the United States as part of a license it received from the U.S. Treasury Department that gives it a limited pass to move sanctioned oil after a 3-year ban. In other words, we are getting hungry enough for energy that we're going to start bypassing all of this sanctioned nonsense here. Now, Venezuela's heavy crude oil is prized by U.S. refiners, who until recently were getting their heavy crude from Russia. And in December, it was reported that other refineries were hitting up Chevron to try and get their hands on the Venezuelan crude oil. So anyway, meanwhile, protesters have returned to major cities across Europe to voice their anger at the rising cost of living, exacerbated by the needless assignment of funds to the war in Ukraine. And officials say 250,000 people turned out. The organizers put the number as high as a million. That was in Spain. All right, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my 357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.